So, good afternoon from BBC Radio Northampton. I'm Connor Phillips with you between now and 3 o'clock. Now, your only experience of prison might be something you've just seen on the telly. And if the last prison programme you watched was Porridge or Prisoner Cell Block H or Bad Girls, it might not be a very sort of modern view on what prisons actually are. But what are the prisons like in our regions? Simon Shepherd is a former prison psychologist and the director of the Butler Trust charity, who has visited over 100 prisons in the UK. Why has he done this? Well, he can tell us right now. Simon Shepherd joins me on BBC Radio Northampton. Simon, first of all, tell me, why and how long does it take to go around 100 prisons?
Why and how long? Okay, how long? A lot longer than I'd expected. It took 17 months. I travelled 17,000 miles and I talked to 2,000 prisoners, staff and managers in all those jails, well, in those jails combined, to find out about the good things going on in the jail and in their jails. And the reason for that is, if we're serious about wanting jails to be as effective as they can be in managing and rehabilitating prisoners, and also as safe as they can be for staff, we need to know not just about where things are going wrong, we also need to know about the good stuff and share it more widely. And that was the idea, really.
So in this heady political time at the moment, right? So let me see if I can put this sort of the linear timeline on this. You've done this, like you said, over 17 months, 17,000 miles. You looked at over 2,000 staff, 100 prisons. And then in the last sort of month, Boris Johnson becomes Prime Minister and talks about some sort of prison reform and rehabilitation reform. Were you asked about that? Because are you at least fearful of that?
I mean, I'm not a politician. I run a charity. What I really want to focus on is, what can we do to improve our jails so that we can make them better at rehabilitating people? I'm not entirely sure, you know, where things are going in terms of the future of the size of the prison population, for instance, and the future of the prison estate, whether they're looking to close down some of the older jails and build new jails. I mean, I don't think that's clear yet, but either way, the prison service has always been kind of focused on managing the people that it gets sent by the courts. That's its statutory responsibility. And I think my job in my role at the Butler Trust is to do what we can to help them make the best of that.
Okay, tell me, what have you learned?
Well, for a start off, there's a lot of good stuff going on around the estate, particularly around education, dealing with drug problems and supporting prisoners to maintain relationships with their families, and all those are obviously really important. If we, you know, if people go out, they've got no job, they've got nowhere to live, and you know, maybe a problem with an outstanding drug problem, the chance of them making a success of it out there is basically zero. So anything that can help address those things is obviously good. I think the other key thing is, I mean, you'll have heard, obviously, your listeners will have heard about all the sort of difficulties that prisons have had in recent years, and you know, you'd have to be living on another planet not to know about that. But I think what I did find was, although the progress is patchy and slower than we might hope, the prisoners and staff I talked to over that period, there was a kind of increasing confidence that they were beginning to turn a corner and move things forward. And I think that's down really to, they brought in some extra staff following previous cuts in staff, and also a thing called a key work scheme, where prison officers are given training and time to work one-to-one with a small cohort of prisoners for whom they're responsible. And
forgive me, Simon,
those things have all made a difference.
Forgive me, Simon, for going back to this, but I'm looking at the good work you've done here, and I've read through all the stuff that not only your 17,000 miles and 100 prisons have done, but also the good work that you've done sort of on the ground as well. But if you've got Boris Johnson a couple of weeks ago saying that he wants to create, was it 10,000 new prison places and make them harsher for people, and then his biggest critics were saying that rehabilitation needs to be the number one priority. You seem to be saying something similar to that at the moment. Has the Butler Trust charity written a letter? Have you spoken to anyone in the government to say, look, please listen to us because we know what we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, Connor, I don't want to get into a discussion about politics and
no, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Priorities. I mean, I run a charity. We're trying to do what we can to support the prison service in doing the best that they can, being the best that they can be. I mean, I do have meetings with ministers, and I already had a meeting with the minister to the previous minister, who's now the Secretary of State, to brief him on the outcome from this book. And the Ministry of Justice and the prison service are definitely keen to learn what they can from this so that they can share it more widely. And I mean, that's our job.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me what it's like, right? So you do something wrong, you're a bad boy, bad girl, you go to court and you end up in jail, right? And I'm a big fan of a Netflix prison documentary. I can lose hours on these things. Explain to me what it's like to be in a British prison.
Well, I've never been in a British prison as a prisoner, so I can't tell you firsthand what that experience is like. What I can tell you is that the idea that prisons are some kind of holiday camp which is the kind of age-old sort of thing, you know?
Mm.
It's just so far from the truth, it's not funny. People who think that prisons are like holiday camps have never been in a prison, and they've probably never been to a holiday camp either. I mean, would you seriously book into a hotel that you're not allowed to leave and where you're locked in your room for hours on end with a perfect stranger? Your room's no bigger than your outstretched arms, and in the corner of the room is a toilet. I mean, this is not, if that's kind of a holiday camp, then people go on funny holidays.
Yeah, and tell me what type of prisoners you got to interact with when you did get in there.
Sure, well, I mean, I've been to all 102 closed prisons in England and Wales, so I talked to, I think, 700 or 800 prisoners across the security categories, from the high end category A prisoners all the way through. So, you know, a broad range of people. I mean, I used to work as a prison psychologist. I used to work with lifers, so, you know, I know my way around prisons.
Mm. Tell me about the rehabilitation. How you make sure that it works? Is there a specific process that your time as a psychologist and visiting and doing this book has taught you?
I mean, there's no magic bullet. I think, you know, the point is, what they're trying to do in prisons is to kind of address some of the key things that can make a difference, that can help to reduce the risk of somebody reoffending. And I've kind of outlined them already.
Mm.
You know, education is important, training. You know, we want people to leave prison better than they came in. Help with drug problems is another key area. And as I said, you know, around families and family support. And also, you know, that matters because we also need to think about future offenders and the children of people in prison and how we minimise the risk of them following in their footsteps. We need to try and break that cycle. And so what we don't want, ideally, is for those kids to grow up in a family with no father figure or mother figure if it's their mum who's in jail. So all of those things make a difference.
Do the quality of prisons change from area to area and region to region?
Yeah, I mean, not across regions. I mean, you've got different categories of prison. You've got some prisons that are old. You've got some prisons that are more modern. You've got some prisons that have grounds, others that don't. Those things all can make a difference to what goes on in a jail. For instance, if you've got you know, if you've got green space, for example, that makes a massive difference to the psychological well-being of prisoners and staff, and that's critical. We have to remember the staff in all this because, you know, these brave men and women go in every day into establishments about which, you know, the general public knows nothing. It's not through their own fault. It's because they're behind walls and fences doing a really difficult and often dangerous job, and we have to remember them. And I think, you know, I hope that those of your listeners who know people who work in prisons are proud of the work that they do. They should be.
Yeah. What about the drug/mobile phone epidemic in prisons?
In what sense?
What have your experiences been of that? And I'm sure it's in this book, The Good Book of Prisons.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that drugs are a big problem in prisons. The real problem with drugs came about around 2013, 2014, with the advent of these so-called, not so new now, psychoactive substances like spice, synthetic cannabis. The problem with that was that it was undetectable at the time and it wasn't illegal. So there was a real market for it in prisons because prisoners are subject to random drug tests. So if they can find a substance that they can get off their heads on and it's not illegal and it can't be detected in any event, then you can see how that kind of took hold. And that happened at the same time as the sort of earlier staff cuts bit. So that's created all sorts of problems. And as a result, also linked to that, an increase in violence too. What I found as I was going around was that prisons were beginning to get on top of, to get to grips with both those issues, largely because of the extra staff that they now have, but also because of some other initiatives like photocopying all the mail, because what people do on the outside is they impregnate paper with the spice chemicals. So if you photocopy the mail instead of giving people the post, that gets around that. They've brought scanners in, all sorts of things to try to get to grips with it. But, you know, at the end of the day, 82,500 people in prison. They're in prison for a reason.
Wow.
And they're difficult and challenging people to manage. So, you know, it's unsurprising that, you know, lots and lots and lots of them have drug problems on the out. So it's unsurprising that they want drugs in. So 82,500 around the country.
Scary number, isn't it?
It's quite a few.
Yeah. So what inspired you to actually put this book up for free? Goodbookofprisons.com. You can actually go and get this right now for free. My plan is to go on holidays in a couple of weeks. And do you know what? Talking to you over the last few minutes, I think I need to read this. The Good Book of Prisons. Why is it free? Why can we all look at it? And what was the initiative behind that?
Connor, you must have better things to do on your holiday. But
I love a prison drama.
Okay. Well, the reason it's free is because we're a charity. We're just trying to help improve prisons. We're not trying to make money out of it. You know, I mean, why would we want to sell it?
Well, yeah, I suppose if you are a charity, I'm sure you have to come up with a few quid. So I thought that maybe potentially it could help you run.
Yeah, maybe.
Charity.
I think it's more important that we just get that message out there, to be honest.
Well, look, listen, thank you so much for coming on. A genuine insight to what happens behind the closed door of a prison. You have more experience than anyone else I think I've ever spoken to. So Simon Shepherd, good luck with the continued endeavour. Good luck with everything with the Butler Trust charity as well. And you can get the book for free. Go and download it. And because it is free. Thank you, Simon. And get yourself on to It Is goodbookofprisons.com. It's available from... Oh, it's available now, actually. It's available from last week. Thegoodbookofprisons.com. Give it a Google and just hit the download button and it's there. You can read the experiences of a man. Let me see. I'll give you those numbers again. Who has been in... Well, has gone 17,000 miles, spoken to over 2,000 staff and went to 100 prisons across the UK. He knows a bit about it.